T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
Breaking overnight, the FBI director says Iran and Russia obtained U.S. voter registration data, and Iran is emailing threats to voters.
We are not going to tolerate foreign interference in our elections.
About the virus, it's being contained in some places, but overall, we're back to spring numbers.
Connecticut's COVID death rate is on the rise. I'm Sean Adams in Fairfield.
We'll hear how New York is evolving and why New Jersey's governor is in quarantine.
I will now, unfortunately, have to take myself off the field.
Joe Connolly says Pfizer is planning a vaccine airlift if its vaccine is approved.
Vandals target the Manhattan townhome of the attorney representing Upper West Siders in their quest to move homeless men out of the Lucerne Hotel. I'm Marla Diamond on the Upper East Side.
Brad, sports roundup.
The Rays draw even with the Dodgers in the World Series.
A two-run homer for Brandon Lau, his second of the night.
And what would Halloween be without the Great Pumpkin?
Dear Great Pumpkin, I'm looking forward to your arrival on Halloween night.
Well, maybe not this year. This is Thursday, October 22nd.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup. A deeper dive into the stories you need to start your day with fewer commercials.
It is a clear morning around the New York area. It's going to be a nice day today, although the fog is definitely a problem. And as I just hit refresh on my screen, now it says cloudy. Anyway, 66 heading for the upper 60s later on today. We'll see some sunshine, maybe 70, 71 this afternoon. Here's the breaking news overnight about the election. U.S. intelligence officials say that Iran is behind an email that has been sent out to registered Democrats in several states, trying to intimidate them into voting for President Trump, claiming that there will be violence if they don't, and warning, we will come after you. Steve Scott spoke with CBS News Chief Justice and Homeland Security correspondent Jeff Pegues last night in a live online interview for the New York Press Club. Matter of fact, Jeff had to cut it short when the news broke about Iran's interference. There was an FBI news conference he had to run away to, but on his way out, he said that there is no doubt foreign actors are trying to disrupt voting.
Could they be planning some sort of ransomware attack where they lock up an election system and demand, say, $400,000 in Bitcoin? You know, so that is a concern because, again, you're only as strong as your weakest link as far as this election is concerned.
Jeff on that Zoom call says it's all it's going to take for questions to be raised about the credibility of the vote. Good and bad news about COVID. Here it is, the good news. Public health officials are getting a better handle on managing the outbreaks, as we'll hear in a second. Bad news is overall cases clearly are rising. Call it a third peak, a second wave, whatever. Sean Adams is in Fairfield with the Connecticut COVID case update. Sean, good morning. What's the latest?
Well, you know, it's really a grind. Day after day, we hear these COVID numbers and the stats. But you know what? There's a good reason to pay attention because all signs point to a COVID resurgence here in Connecticut. The death rate has steadily increased since the summer. So 33 people died in August, 43 in September. We're up to 59 so far here in October. Plus, more people are being treated in hospitals. And a few days ago, the positive test rate in Connecticut hit 3%. It dropped just a little bit yesterday. All of this is still a far cry from the peak of the pandemic earlier in the year, but it is an indication that the virus is spreading. Eastern Connecticut is particularly hard hit right now. Here in Fairfield, we're at orange alert. Health officials do say, though, they did expect a return of COVID in the fall, and that's what we're seeing, and so they're taking action now. Wayne?
Sean, what is that action? What are they going to do in Connecticut?
Well, Connecticut is funneling more resources to the front lines. So reinforcements on the way. $20 million from the CDC. This federal money is going to go to 21 local health departments to start. The rest will get money eventually. These local health officials, I mean, they've been simply overwhelmed with trying to deal with this. The contact tracing alone takes up a lot of time. They need help, so this money is going to pay for things like overtime, more equipment, flu clinics, because we are in the flu season coming up on it here, and eventually the money could help with vaccine distribution.
Sean, thank you. By the way, New York has no plans to add Connecticut, or for that matter, New Jersey, to its quarantine list, even though both states qualify.
It's impossible, impracticable, and it would be highly disruptive.
What is working, says Governor Cuomo, in New York, the red zone microcluster approach. Numbers are dropping, enough to wipe away all the red zones in Queens now.
What this shows is it is working.
But not yet in Brooklyn or Rockland or Orange. Numbers are better, but not good enough to wipe away those red zones just yet. But as Joe Connolly pointed out a minute ago, it's back to business now in the red zones in Queens. Ominously, New York State yesterday, though, did record the most single-day COVID cases since May, more than 2,000 infections. Also ominously, but wisely, Governor Phil Murphy is in quarantine this morning after awaiting test results because of a Saturday stop in Hoboken, where he was near a senior staffer who tested positive.
I have no symptoms. Again, I tested negative on Monday, but I got to go take myself at least off the field and get tested again today.
He does have media appearances planned for this morning, where we will learn more. His state's news is also not good. The Jersey positivity rate has exceeded 5%. In Newark, it's 7%. The CEO at University Hospital told our Marla Diamond yesterday that the expected second wave is here.
COVID, 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 COVID. That's all they put on because they want to scare the hell out of everyone.
The president in North Carolina here.
And you know, the more testing you have, the more cases. They say cases are up. Yeah, testing is up. We have more testing than India, China, and almost every other country put together. You could say it's ridiculous. At the same time, we did a good job, but it shows a lot of cases.
The president will be looking through plexiglass when he debates Joe Biden tonight in Nashville, 9 o'clock on WCBS. At his first campaign appearance for Joe Biden, former President Barack Obama said in Philadelphia,
I never thought Donald Trump would embrace my vision or continue my policies, but I did hope, for the sake of the country, that he might show some interest in taking the job seriously.
Thursday morning news roundup. Stock futures show a lower opening likely this morning. Joe Connolly is here with one of the big money stories. And Joe, Pfizer has plans for a vaccine airlift if its vaccine is approved?
Yes, Wayne. It sounds like something's developing on vaccines because announcements of approvals possibly being near have increased in the last several days, even though no vaccine has been submitted for emergency approval yet. But the Wall Street Journal says Pfizer has made plans to use 20 air cargo flights a day to distribute its vaccine if it's approved. They've already set up distribution centers in the U.S. and Europe, and they've arranged for trucks to then take the vaccines out from the distribution centers. The Wall Street Journal says Pfizer designed the new reusable container that can keep the vaccines at 94 degrees below zero for up to 10 days. Pfizer will bypass usual distributors like McKesson and do it themselves because of the urgency. The timelines range from late this year to early next. Again, vaccines have not been approved yet. Reuters reports the vaccines with the best chances of being approved first are Pfizer's or Moderna's. In the meantime, City University says their survey shows that even though most New Yorkers expect a second wave of cases, they plan to stay in the city and use what they've learned to keep themselves safe. Wayne?
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. We've got someone who lives in the city who probably doesn't feel very safe after what happened outside of his townhouse, and that's a former deputy mayor. We'll hear about that coming up next.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
Now on the WCBS Morning News Roundup, how about the weather? How about a morning that isn't so foggy, Craig Allen?
It's another morning with visibility down below half mile in so many locales. And it's going to take a while for this entire pattern to break. So we've got ourselves a very murky start again. A very mild afternoon, though, once the sun does burn through. Today's high, 70 to 75. Even warmer for some parts of New Jersey. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Fog returns, near 60. Friday, morning fog, then clouds and a few sunny breaks. It may not be quite as warm tomorrow, but still 65 to 70. And we start the weekend with a mix of sun and clouds on Saturday and right back near the 70-degree mark. Currently, 64 degrees. Humidity, 96%. The wind is calm, but later today, 70 to 75.
The WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup.
Thursday, the 22nd of October, there's a lawyer who has been defending the well-heeled who don't want to have homeless hotels in their neighborhoods, and he just had something happen to his home. Marla Diamond is live outside the East Side townhouse of an attorney whose name we all remember from the Rudy Giuliani years. Marla, good morning. What happened?
Good morning, Wayne. He is Randy Mastro, the former Giuliani chief of staff and deputy mayor. He awoke Wednesday to find obscene and threatening messages spray painted in front of his Upper East Side townhouse, messages reading, "Shame, you can't displace us, and no room for NIMBYs." Mastro is representing a group that wants homeless men moved out of the Lucerne Hotel on the Upper West Side. Police are investigating the politically motivated attack. There are no suspects. The locks of the townhome were also glued. Spray paint was splattered on Mastro's front door. In a statement to the Daily News, he called it a sad day to see a genuine debate about serious issues involving the homeless devolve into vandalism targeting my family's home. A community group fighting to allow the men to stay at the Lucerne has also condemned the vandalism.
So they made their point. But Marla, what's the latest on this homeless issue?
A judge on Monday granted three men living in the temporary shelter a temporary restraining order that prevents the city from moving some 235 men in the hotel to another shelter in the financial district, where nearby residents say they don't want them and they will sue. The matter will be back in court on November 16th.
Marla, thanks. Were you watching the World Series last night? The ratings have been down. I think, Brad Heller, we have more listeners than the World Series has viewers. But anyway, the Rays evened things up last night.
They do, Wayne. Good morning. They jumped out to a 5-0 lead and beat the Dodgers in Game 2 last night, 6-4. Brandon Lau, who had been really, really struggling in the postseason, 6-for-56. He had not one but two home runs and three RBIs. Blake Snell, the former Cy Young winner, started with four no-hit innings for Tampa. He came out with two outs in the fifth and just missed qualifying for the victory. The Dodgers ended up with three home runs, three of their five hits, and that's been rare for this postseason so far. It's only the fifth time in 37 games that the team with fewer home runs actually won. A day off today, Wayne. They'll play Game 3 tomorrow night.
All right, we got football coming up tonight, Brad, and got the Giants and the Eagles, and I don't know, you're thinking the Giants are thinking first place?
Yeah, I mean, a week ago, the Giants were 0-5, didn't have a win, and now if they can beat the Eagles tonight, they'll be 2-5 and just a half a game out of first place in the really bad NFC East. Hmm. Here's defensive back and former Rutgers star Logan Ryan.
I think anybody who's listening, I think they all agree we're a better team than we were the first game of the year, and I think our division's up for grabs. You can't tell me any team that's just better than us in the division. So we're going to go out there and play every team in the division twice, and may the best team win. That team in the division gets to go to the playoffs. That's just how it works.
That's Logan Ryan, who was with Joe and Evan on The Fan yesterday. Joe Judge, the Giants coach, is from the Philly suburbs. There's going to be fans, about 7,500 in Philly tonight, and Joe Judge says that anybody he knows, any family member or friends in the stands, he said they better be wearing blue for this one tonight.
Brad, thank you. From blue to orange, we've got news about the Great Pumpkin in just a second. Thursday, 22nd of October. I'm Wayne Cabot. Good morning. Our three things to know, sponsored by Altice. The Senate Judiciary Committee today is going to vote, and it's going to be a thumbs up by all expectations on Amy Coney Barrett's nomination to the Supreme Court. Democrats are going to skip the vote. To the observatory at One World Trade Center, up there in the fog this morning, will reopen to the public next month. And yes, you'll be able to ride SkyPod, that amazing elevator experience. It takes you up 102 floors in 60 seconds, while the visuals take you through centuries of Manhattan growth. It's really worth seeing. Third thing tomorrow, movie theaters open in New York outside the city. In the city, Target is opening three new stores on Sunday, in Hell's Kitchen on the Upper West Side and on Staten Island on Forest Avenue. And there will be no Great Pumpkin this year, Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown has been taken off free TV for the first time since the Peanuts Halloween special went on the air in 1966. Apple TV has bought the rights, and you know how that goes. And while some towns have canceled trick-or-treating, the mayor of New York has proudly announced,
Halloween is happening in New York City, and Halloween will be safe in New York City.
Now, the fine print.
First of all, most important thing we have learned throughout this whole crisis, outdoors is better than indoors. So with trick-or-treating, should all be outdoors, only outdoors. No trick-or-treating inside apartment buildings, for example. Do everything outdoors. Second of all, a costume, the mask you have in a costume is not the same as the kind of mask we use to protect ourselves and each other. So for a child wearing a costume, put a mask on top of the costume, on the outside of the costume, to protect them and protect everyone. No indoor gatherings, no indoor parties, and do things in small groups. What, again, basic rules we've learned.
Favorite thing I saw was a guy who has a 6-foot pipe and stands there on his door and throws the candy down through the 6-foot pipe to be COVID safe. The mayor says this can be fun, and for our youngest New Yorkers, they deserve it after all they've been through. Music news this morning, Carrie Underwood, a double winner at the CMT Music Awards for Video of the Year and Female Video of the Year, both for Drinking Alone. Paul McCartney's still making music, messing around in his home while on COVID lockdown, working on songs that he'd never had time to finish, never expecting to release them, but then, well, why not? The result, McCartney 3 is coming out in a few weeks. McCartney 3, just like 1970s McCartney, and 1980s McCartney 2. Paul plays all the instruments himself. And listen to this. They're going to have a vinyl edition made of recycled vinyl copies of McCartney and McCartney 2. It's December 11th when that comes out. And today marks 30 years of what band that is still playing today? Pearl Jam. Performed for the first time 30 years ago at a club in Seattle when they were still called Mookie Blaylock. Pearl Jam is still pushing ahead with preparations for concerts to support their Gigaton album, even though the pandemic has cut their tour plans on hold. That's your morning news roundup for Thursday morning, October 22nd. Thank you for listening.
This is the WCBS 880 Morning News Roundup, a daily download of the news you need to start your day. On air, on radio.com, and delivered to your phone and computer for on-demand listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.